You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We are just rolling through this show. Love to hear from you live on Twitter at E Radio Sports. And of course, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We're going to pot up the mic one more time. Robert Harris Jr. hanging out with the Big E. Follow him on Twitter at Robo Harris Jr. And I want to continue our conversation, Bobby, about the Cowboys. You know, they had a blowout against their division rival in the Eagles, 37-10 at home. Was this the best performance of the year?
Most balanced performance of the year. I think the best performance what I've seen from this Cowboys team when they played the Redskins on the road. And the Redskins had them on the rope in the first quarter, and eventually the Cowboys took over that game. But I think this is the most complete performance, defense and on the offensive side, I've seen from the Cowboys.
Well, I tell you what, they were ready for a W, and so was Jason Garrett, their head coach. I mean, you talk about how concerned do you think he is in terms of his job security? And, I mean, does he have to make the playoffs to retain his job?
Should I give an honest answer here? I think
we're all about honesty on
either
the
way
show.
Either way it goes, I think, you know, a lot of people said, well, he's just Jerry Jones guy, quote unquote, and I think he is that guy. But I mean, so many chances for Garrett. Nobody knows is if he does make the playoffs. If he doesn't, is he still good or not? So I cannot give you a clear answer.
Well, you know, but Bobby, we were talking earlier. I mean, you've heard the soundbite from Jerry Jones and his comments. I mean, he's looking for reasons to keep Jason Garrett. I mean, some people read between the lines there. I mean, how did that come across to you? What do you think?
To me, I mean, if you're looking for reasons, just look at what he's done in the past. I mean, those are a lot of reasons not to keep Jason Garrett. But I mean, and it was close that Urban Meyer, they asked him a question. Was he interested in the job?
That.
And
yeah.
He jokingly said, yeah, I'll take it. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many chances you can give Jason Garrett.
Okay, so one more quick hit on the Cowboys. What do you think the biggest concern is?
The biggest concern is about the quarterback play, about Dak week in and week out. Can he lead this team to victory? You know, you know what you're going to get from Zeke. You know what you're going to get from Amari Cooper in the defense. But I think it's just all about the quarterback play.
Okay, give me a quick hit. Talk to me about your Rockets. I know you're very excited. They're back in action on Thursday night against the Bucks. What's the most intriguing storyline about the Rockets?
Just the backcourt. Can Harden and Westbrook get back to that OKC way?
And can they mesh? Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Thank you so much for making us a part of your Friday night. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. And the Big E Sports Show, of course, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are going to continue to go inside the ropes in our next segment. We have a very special guest. He's been on the program many, many times. That is licensed psychologist with specialty in performance and sports psychology. And he has just released, he teamed up and co-authored a brand new book with Celeste Romano. It is titled Beyond the Scoreboard. Learn it through youth sports, carry it through life. And that is Dr. Nick Molinaro, who is back with us. Good evening, Dr. Nick.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Congratulations. It's wonderful to have you back on the show. We have been looking so forward to highlighting your new book that you have co-authored. From what I understand, this was a three-year journey for you and Celeste to pen this book. So just tell us about the inspiration and how this all came together.
Well, I had worked with Celeste's son, a golfer, for a period of time. And just as we were coming to the completion of my work with him, Celeste indicated that she had learned a lot and wanted to put together a book, and I was pleased to contribute. And so what you'll find in the book is a parent's perspective asking me a number of questions about performance. That's how it began.
Well, I will say for myself, you know, being a mother of two junior golfers, it is not always easy being a sports parent. It can be tougher than it looks, and we're always looking for advice. We're looking for that, you know, silver bullet. We all need guidance because we want the best for our kids. We want the best for our children. So what is, Dr. Nick, the best way to nurture the necessary qualities for young athletes to perform at a high level?
First of all, it's very important that the children experience a great deal of pleasure in what they're doing. And I think sometimes that gets missed. You know, there's a, you know, continuous effort to make sure that they're performing at a high level, but sometimes I think we don't focus on how much enjoyment the sport should bring to the for the kid.
And as you talk about in your book, sports provides many opportunities for young people to grow socially, physically, academically, emotionally. And I thought it was interesting. I mean, you talk about in the book that this is not about how to create the next, you know, Jordan Spieth or Michael Jordan. It's really about helping your child develop critical mental skills for optimizing performance in sports. And there's some critical life skills that some critical skills that you teach in here.
So what we're looking at is the ability to identify specific aspects of performance, which is attention and emotional regulation, and the ability to analyze, evaluate, and being able to bring yourself into the moment using skills like attentional shifting, emotional regulation, control of thinking, patience, effective decision-making.
What do you think some of the biggest mistakes perhaps that parents make? Because, you know, you want your child to enjoy their experience and you also want them to succeed, but you don't want to put too much pressure on your athlete.
Yeah, performance under pressure is one of the most important pieces of what we're working on. Part of what you'll hear from Celeste and you'll see in the book is that there is an incident where her son became frustrated and was angry.
Right.
And she tried to take away the emotion of anger, and she was counseled by me by letting him have the emotion, but being able to see it as an essential part of growth. It's the expression of it. It's not the curtailing of it.
He is the mental coach at the Michael Breed Academy. Dr. Nick Molinaro is with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, info, eRadioSports.com. And you can go back and listen to our entire interview and conversation at podcastarena.com. Dr. Nick, we don't want to get too far into our interview. Connect with our audience. Where can they find you online? And most importantly, hey, where can they get a copy of your brand new book that you've co-authored, which again, it is titled Beyond the Scoreboard, Learn It Through Youth Sports and Carry It Through Life.
You can find me at drnickmolinaro.com or drnickgolf.com. And you can purchase our book either through Amazon or Barnes & Noble online.
I think one of the things that I appreciate about your book is that you point out it's important to understand our child's temperament, and that certainly is going to help improve their mental game and optimize their performance. And what are some of the different temperaments that, as parents, that we should recognize? I mean, I can say one thing, you know, my two sons, they're very, very different as far as their persona, their personality.
Well, there are about nine different temperamental predispositions, depending upon which research you look at. And so, for example, what's called threshold of responsiveness, we can find that at the age of 11 months, which kids will probably develop some degree of anxiety. At times, parents, when we look at low thresholds and the child becomes upset very easily, they try to discipline the child versus teaching them how to control it. They tell them not to actually have the experience emotionally. We can't disregard the fact that these qualities are inborn predispositions. quality of mood happens to be one of those things. People will look at things such as attentional disorders, but we're going to be looking at threshold of responsiveness, intensity of reactions, and the ability then to bring emotions under control. Some of those are not learned. Some of those are inborn predispositions. So trying to get a child not to have an emotional response when it's an inborn predisposition will quell them and not be able to express their feelings effectively.
The title of the book is Beyond the Scoreboard, Learn It Through Youth Sports, Carry It Through Life. And it's important for us to bring up tonight just the impact of our vocabulary. You know, it's we've got to choose our words wisely as parents. We got to stop talking about winning or, you know, being the top of your class or getting those top grades and really focus on trusting the process and being patient. That's important, right, Dr. Nick?
It is. You know, the attention is always on what you're doing, not what you're feeling, what you're doing versus what the outcome would be. It's very, very important to train athletes to do so. And when we focus on what we're doing versus what we're feeling, what we're doing versus what the outcome is going to be, performance increases, and so does the ability to experience the sport in a much more joyful way.
Well, I will say, too, I mean, we have to have self-awareness as a mom or dad, you know, what you're communicating verbally, but how about those nonverbals as well, right? I mean, my former nanny, she would say, because she was a golfer and she played in college, and she said she could look over and just see the expression on her dad's face and it could throw around. So she would make a point not to look over at her dad.
Absolutely. You know, a number of the players, certainly the junior athletes, will tell me that they bring their attention towards their parents with frequency when they're playing on a basketball court, football field, golf course. And we try to make sure that parents are aware that those nonverbal cues speak a great deal.
Dr. Nick Molinaro is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You know, how do we stop putting pressure from impacting the performance? What do we need to do on that?
First of all, we have to identify what pressure is. You know, if pressure is based upon winning versus execution or mindfulness, there's a big difference. So there is a basic mindset that parents have and they're trying to instill in their children. Sometimes that mindset is about winning, and we don't really want that to be the case, because if that's the pressure, then the child is always going to be focused on the outcome and can't be focused on the moment. So I would say that you can reduce the impact that pressure has on performance by looking at the value system that you have.
Right.
And that value is in terms of self-regard or spirituality, care for others. That mindset is really critical in being able to reduce the pressure.
And you also talk about in the book, you and Celeste, about burnout. What did you share? And how do we identify it?
Well, it's always going to occur around how the child is feeling and being perceived. So the studies have clearly indicated that by the time a child is 13, they've made a decision whether or not they're going to play that sport ever again in their life, because it happens to lose a joy. So burnout is frequently put on the child by the pressure of high-level performance. And again, I would bring into critical awareness here is, where are you during the moments of your execution? And if you're in the moment and enjoying it, your performance will go up. And if not, performance will depreciate, and that will lead to burnout.
It has been a true pleasure to have with us tonight Dr. Nick Molinaro, and his new book that he's co-authored is Beyond the Scoreboard, Learn It Through Youth Sports, Carry It Through Life. And Dr. Nick, it is on, what, anywhere online? You can go to Amazon.com and get a copy?
Yes, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, and one more time, share with our listeners your website as well.
It's DrNickMolinaro.com or DrNickGolf.com.
Outstanding. We look forward to another conversation. Congratulations, Dr. Nick. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show, powered and brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, it is time for the interview we have been looking so forward to tonight. We are going to discuss lessons on teamwork and leadership. And if you want to learn how to build an elite team, our next guest knows how to make that happen. It is such an honor to have with us this evening a former special ops officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, Eric Kapitulik, who teamed up with his co-author, Jake McDonald, and has released their new book. It is titled The Program, Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High-Performance Leaders and Teams. All I can say is this book is gold. It is a must read, and it's a true honor to have you with us. Good evening, Eric.
Good evening, Alyssa. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, it's a little overwhelming because we've got so much ground to cover, and I'm like, how do I narrow it down? You know, where is our starting point? And so before we highlight your new book, I think, you know, for our audience, let's go up close, and I just want to reflect on your unique background, your time in the military. You were a four-year varsity letter winner at Navy on the lacrosse team, and you're certainly definitely qualified to write a book because you've had such an amazing journey. Just kind of tell a little bit about your story and how you got to this point.
Sure, thank you. So, well, first and foremost, yes, the Marine Corps remains having had a huge impact on my life. I think for any of us out there, the biggest impact probably starts, well, if you're fortunate enough to start with your parents. And I had two great ones. You know, you don't get to choose your parents.
Right.
It's just luck. Well, I was very lucky.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was a Connecticut State policeman. My mom was a high school teacher. I grew up on a farm in Connecticut. Very fortunate coming out of high school, playing, a three-sport varsity athlete. Got recruited to do all three of those sports. I ran, I played basketball and lacrosse, but certainly lacrosse was the sport that I was best at. And then made a very good decision in hindsight, which was to attend the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. And I played lacrosse there for 4 years, graduated. And then really the great privilege of my life, one of two, other than being husband and dad, is being called a Marine. And after graduating from the Naval Academy, I was commissioned an officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. Mm. I served as both an infantry officer and then in Marine Corps Special Operations. I served for 8 years on active duty. I left active duty. I was honorably discharged. I attended the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business, and then shortly thereafter, I founded the program.
Eric Kapitulik is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, a remarkable and amazing individual, served as an officer in the United States Marine Corps. He is the co-author of the new book. It is titled The Program. We're reliving some of the stories in here. You know, Eric, listening to you, I'm just trying to process all this. Within 1 month of that helicopter crash, you were deployed, you said, to the Persian Gulf. How did you find the strength to move forward? Because I'm sure you've got so many emotions and things are going through your mind. You're thinking about your men. You're thinking about the widows of the families and the children.
Alyssa, I don't get asked that question very much. But obviously it highlights either a really good knowledge of the subject matter or I think just yourself having been an athlete and understanding what it means to be on a team and that team being like, it's not a family, but it's like a family.
Right.
It was extremely challenging. I think, to be quite frank with you, I had it easy. I think because I was around my teammates. So, yes, that we experienced incredible adversity, but we did so together. Much more difficult. I mean, not only the fact that the families who lost their dads, who lost their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only is that much worse than losing a friend. Although, you know, you hate to prioritize or say what's worse. I mean, the truth is, yes, they're losing their husband, their dad. I mean, with all that said, we were able, the guys in the platoon and I, we were able to attack that adversity together. The families that we left behind when we go on deployment, it's the wife, the mother, and their children. And that's why I really appreciate the compliments and some of the adjectives you're using in describing me. It's embarrassing because the only people who deserve any credit.
We are quickly running out of time. I knew I needed an hour to spend and do this interview and this conversation. Eric Kapitulik is with served as an officer in the United States Marine Corps. He is the founder and chief executive officer of the program and has just co-authored a new book. It is titled The Program, Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High Performance Leaders and Teams. So talk to us about, let's move forward, Eric. And let's focus on the program and just how it helps, you know, develop leadership and, you know, as you were just talking about, through shared adversity.
Yeah, thanks. 11 years ago, I founded the program. I use that pronoun I very sparingly, but I am proud of being the founder of the program. I'm just as quick, or I can't say it quick enough, that I would be out of business if it weren't for the we and my teammates that now work with me at the program. I may have founded it, but we have made it what it is today. In our first year in business, I worked with three college men's lacrosse teams. I called coaches I played against, four with. Now we work with more than 160 college and professional athletic teams and corporations throughout America annually. What we do, it's our belief in personal development, leadership development, and team building through shared adversity. And that we only grow as individuals and as a team when we're outside of our comfort zone. When we work with teams, we're going to develop better leaders and create a more cohesive team. And how are we going to do that? By sharing adversity together. It may be physical in nature for some teams. For other teams, Alyssa, you and I talked before coming on the air here tonight about our privilege of having the opportunity to work with Coach Frost and his staff at Nebraska football. To get those young men outside of their adversity, Stanford women's basketball, Mississippi State women's basketball, any of the team, collegiate professional athletic teams with whom we're privileged to work. Yes, it is very physical in nature, and we have to make it very physically challenging. But it's not about getting bigger, faster, stronger. It's just our belief that everybody's a hero when it's 70 degrees and sunny out. Unfortunately, that's not when you need them. You need great team leaders and great teammates when it's not. When we train, we make sure it's not.
So, Eric, talk to us about creating a championship culture and how do you build that elite team?
Well, first and foremost, and it's something we talk about in the book, is everywhere you go today in America, from Maine to SoCal to Florida to Oregon, everybody wants to talk to us about kids these days. And there's always a negative connotation attached to kids these days. At the program, I would challenge any of your listeners. Look, you'll see us walking through airports. We have khaki pants or khaki shorts on, black shoes. We've got black collared shirts on that say the program on them. That's what we travel in. That's what we work in. I challenge your listeners, get into a conversation with somebody working with the program. Try to get them to say the term kids these days in a negative light. You won't. You just won't be able to. And the reason why, Alyssa, and I'll give you just one example, and I'll use Corey Ross as our example. Corey Ross is the president of the program corporate. He is in charge of growing and running all of the business that we do with corporations. Corey Ross, he's caught in an enemy ambush in eastern Afghanistan, he and his teammates. The vehicle that he's in takes a direct hit with an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade. The man next to him is blown up. Every other member of that vehicle sustains a massive injury and is knocked unconscious, except for the driver. The driver, he has a 6-inch piece of metal shrapnel come up and stick through his shoulder, and he starts to bleed to death. Rather than put a tourniquet on his wound and stop himself from bleeding to death, the driver single-handedly drives the vehicle and fights the enemy off until the vehicle is outside of the kill zone, and in doing so, saves every other member of his team that's inside that vehicle with him. The driver, he's 19 years old.
Wow.
That's just one reason why you certainly will never hear Corey Ross, Eric Kapitulik, or any member of the program team, all former U.S. military members and or U.S. military combat veterans, talk about the kids these days. It's not about the kids these days. Stop pointing fingers at the kids these days. We're different. Parents are different. Coaches, teachers, business leaders, we're the ones different, not the kids these days. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, we are up against the clock, and we've got to cut our interview short. It is a new book, The Program Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating Sustaining High-Performance Leaders and Teams. It is titled The Program. We have got to continue this conversation and reconvene. Eric Kapitulik has been with us. Go anywhere online and pick up a copy of the book. It is a must-read. Eric, it is a true honor. You are absolutely remarkable, and I promise we're going to talk here real soon, okay? Thank you so much.
Alyssa, thank you for having me.
Of course. Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back. Hour two at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly's. O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, right now in hour two, we are going to power down. We're going to take time for a book review. And our next guest is a renowned orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Jonathan Gelber, who has just released his new book. It is titled Tiger Woods' Back and Tommy John's Elbow, Injuries and Tragedies That Transformed Careers, Sports, and Society. Good evening, Dr. Gelber. It's a true pleasure to have you with us at SB Nation.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you.
Well, I tell you what, it seems like we're always talking about sports injuries on our program. And as an orthopedic surgeon, what motivated you to delve into this topic and just, you know, start with what's the goal of this book?
Yeah, so the goal of this book is really to highlight something called the COBRA effect, which is where solutions to problems, although well-meaning, can often lead to unintended consequences. Sometimes those consequences are opposite than what we initially had intended. So as an orthopedic surgeon and a sports medicine specialist, I noticed, and many others have noticed, the wave of Tommy John surgeries that we've seen in sports, and I'm sure you've covered a lot of Tommy John injuries
yes.
on your show. But the largest group who has had this, and it is still growing, is the 15 to 19-year-olds. So the story that came to my mind was, well, if we didn't have this surgery, would we have this epidemic? Has this surgery created an epidemic? So we have a problem, we have a solution, but then that solution may be leading to another problem. So that was my first inspiration. And then I stepped back and I looked at other injuries and tragedies like Jukku Kim in boxing, Tiger Woods' back, mm-hmm. Dale Earnhardt in NASCAR, Tom Brady and his ACL, and several others. And I wanted to take that lens and see how did these injuries or tragedies not only transform the careers of those individuals, not only the sport they were in, but society as well. And many of them, such as Len Bias, for instance, have affected the courtrooms and the legal justice system. So I found that these sports injuries not only caused something within the sport itself, but actually a larger, broader consequence across all of society.
You know, Dr. Gelber, you lead off tonight talking about Tommy John surgery. So share, what are some of the myths and the misunderstandings surrounding this? Because it seems like it's increasing in frequency and it's almost an epidemic.
Yeah, the myths surrounding Tommy John have actually been documented. So there were two studies done a couple of years ago, and the researchers polled high school athletes, high school coaches, and then members of the Major League Baseball media. And nearly 50% of them, first of all, thought it was a performance enhancer, that you got better and stronger after the surgery, which is not true. And the second is that you didn't even need an injury for the surgery, which is also not true. So there's a lot of mist around this surgery, and it's almost become a rite of passage, or at least a crutch for organizations or players to fall back on, rather than doing things for injury prevention. So because we have this surgery, it's almost a green light for athletes to play year-round, coaches and players to ignore pitch counts, you know, things of that nature, which could prevent elbow injuries. And so that's really the source of the epidemic.
You are listening to The Voice, Dr. John Gelber, orthopedic surgeon, author of his second book, Tiger Woods Back and Tommy John's Elbow, Injuries and Tragedies That Transformed Careers, Sports, and Society. And since we're on the subject right now, talking about Tommy John's surgery, you kind of talk about some of the benefits and also the risks there. But it seems like, what do you need to do to avoid a second Tommy John surgery? Because it seems so many times these athletes end up and wind up getting a second surgery. There's always a follow-up.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, sometimes it has to do with a nerve around the area. Tommy John himself had that second surgery to clean up some scar tissue around the nerve, your funny bone nerve. But the re-tear rate is also something of concern. You know, it takes a good year to get back, and I think people are underestimating how quickly you can get back. We had this problem with ACL surgeries many years ago. There was a race to get professional athletes back quicker and faster, and soon we realized that, you know, most people are not Adrian Peterson, and they will take a year to get back, you know, 6 to 9 months minimum, probably a year, for 100% return. So, you know, getting people back too soon is one issue. The other thing is pitching is a full-body activity. And so there's something called the kinetic chain, where it's your whole body from the ground up using that to propel the ball forward. So if you're using your whole body, you're going to take stress off the elbow. So pitching mechanics are important, too. And just fatigue. I mean, once you fatigue, your form breaks down, and you start to drop your elbow. You might drag it, and you'll increase stress across the elbow. So that's really something. And other things in the youth especially is playing year-round. So there's actually a map out there. If you look at the 300-game winners, more of them were born in the North and less born in the South. And that's presumably because in the North you couldn't play baseball year-round. Mm-hmm. And so now we have people playing baseball year-round, not taking time off, not playing other sports. In fact, Tommy John himself saw baseball as something to do between basketball seasons. He had many basketball scholarships, and he chose to play baseball. So that's really another issue, is that year-round baseball playing.
You know, John, you are one of the leading orthopedic surgeons in the country. How concerned are you by the rapid rise of Tommy John surgery in youth baseball?
Well, in respect to my colleagues, I wouldn't say I'm one of the lead. I am a orthopedic surgeon, a humble orthopedic surgeon.
Come on, John, I'm trying to help you out a little bit.
There's a lot of more famous guys out there than me. But certainly, it is of concern, because a lot of it is education. And, you know, that's where it takes the people who are around the athlete. You know, by the time they come to see me in the office, you know, their elbow is already hurting. Hopefully there's not a significant injury, but it's starting to get irritated and inflamed, and that's a warning sign. And that's enough for me to sit down and talk with the parents and the player and say, hey, you need to slow down. But before they get to the office, I mean, they're surrounded by the parents, they're surrounded by the coaches, they're surrounded by their friends. So there's a lot of pressure on the young athlete to perform. But sometimes we need to protect the athlete and not worry so much about the big game, so much about the scholarship, and focus really on the long-term health of the athlete. And if they do end up with an injury, I mean, nobody wants a broken pitcher on their team coming out of high school. And certainly, you know, the pros are going to look at that when you're coming out of college. So, you know, it's really important to educate those who are around the athlete on a daily basis, because especially a young person doesn't want to let down their team. And so you have to sort of protect them from themselves sometimes.
So what's a more conservative treatment that can be offered, opposed to, you know, having a surgery? We're talking about young athletes. I don't want to get off subject too much, but just out of curiosity.
Once the ligament is torn, I mean, some of them can heal, but others will require the surgery. But the whole point is not to get to the point where you need the surgery. And that's where working on your pitching mechanics is important. That's where listening to your body and now your ego is important. So if your elbow hurts, you got to tell your coach. You know, you can't just pitch through the pain because it can end up with a season-ending injury.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us. Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. You can always join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, info, eRadioSports.com. And you can go back and listen to our exclusive interview with Dr. John Gelber at PodcastArena.com. We are shining the spotlight on his brand new book, Tiger Woods Back and Tommy John's Elbow, Injuries and Tragedies That Transformed Careers, Sports, and Society. Hey, John, let's hit the hardwood. Let's talk some basketball. And what effect did Magic Johnson's announcement regarding his HIV diagnosis have on the NBA and testing across the nation?
Yeah, so Magic's story is really one of the celebrity effect. And we've seen that more recently with Charlie Sheen and his HIV diagnosis, or Angelina Jolie and breast cancer awareness. And what we were able to see is if you go back and look at testing rates, you actually have this data out there. You can see that the testing rates of all demographics actually increased when Magic made his famous announcement about his HIV diagnosis. But what you see is a quick drop-off afterwards. And the only group that really had more of a persistent response was the white heterosexual male under the age of 40. And if you look at those who are at greatest risk of HIV, that's not the population. So you had a population who was going out and getting tested, but they were the ones least likely to be found to be HIV positive. The group that's actually the highest risk even today is the African-American female. And so Cookie Johnson, his wife, is actually a key part of that program, part of that story. And, you know, we didn't know for about 2 weeks there whether his wife and his unborn child were infected with HIV as well. So there was a lot of drama and emotion around that. And, you know, while Cookie and Magic certainly have done tremendous amounts at their foundation, and Magic did a lot just to help normalize the social stigmas so that we didn't, you know, worry about sweat and that players could play and you could have physical contact and not catch HIV, I think the message really would have been stronger if we would have focused on maybe the Cookie Johnson effect and not so much the Magic Johnson effect.
Just a few more minutes tonight with Dr. John Gelber, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, orthopedic surgeon and author, highlighting his new book, Tiger Woods Back and Tommy John's Elbow, Injuries and Tragedies That Transformed Careers, Sports, and Society. Okay, so we talked about and highlighted Magic Johnson. What did you share about Hank Gathers?
So, you know, there are actually, you know, three basketball stories in the book, Magic, Hank, and Len Bias.
And Len Bias, yes.
And Hank Gathers' one is an interesting story. For those who don't remember, Hank Gathers was part of Loyola Marymount University, and they had the system. It was a run-and-gun offense, highest-scoring offense in NCAA basketball history. Records still remain today. And they basically would pass and shoot and pass and shoot until they wore the other team down because they knew they would win. So Hank Gathers actually had a disease of his heart called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And so the high-octane system really stressed his heart. And he ended up dying suddenly on the court in front of fans during a game. And he was taking some medication that was making him feel funny. And so he wasn't fully, you know, perhaps following his doctor's orders. And maybe, you know, we don't know retrospectively, maybe if he was taking his medication, we could have caught some of these issues sooner, but his death really was a landmark for the prevention of sudden death in young black athletes especially. So if you look at studies, a young basketball player, African-American, has a higher risk of this sudden onset death. And there's been a lot of talk in the NCAA about screening for EKGs and things like that to see if we could find those athletes. But you sort of open up a Pandora's box here because a lot of these athletes, especially like Hank, came from inner city Philadelphia, for instance, and this is their ticket to a new life. So you get this as controversy, this sort of ethical dilemma. If you do find something on an athlete, then first of all, we're sort of, you know, focusing on the young black male. So their risk perhaps of having, you know, a tragedy in their own neighborhood is probably higher than them dying suddenly on the basketball court. So we get into this real ethical discussion of, well, what's right for the athlete? What's right, you know, what do they have to say about this? We saw this with Chris Bosh and his clots. You know, his doctors told him not to play. He wanted to play. T.O. did this in the Super Bowl after a surgery. He came back and he didn't listen to his doctors. He didn't want him to play. And he had an MVP, you know, level performance. So you know, there's a lot of discussion that has come about with this testing, and specifically of a young black basketball athlete.
Our book review with Dr. John Gelber will continue after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And right now, we're going to rejoin orthopedic surgeon and author of his new book, Dr. John Gelber. We are wrapping up our time. Dr. John Gelber has been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, orthopedic surgeon, new book, Tiger Woods Back and Tommy John's Elbow, Injuries and Tragedies That Transformed Careers, Sports, and Society. And the final athlete I wanted to talk about tonight with you, John, is Dale Earnhardt and just that devastating crash. And it led to, ultimately, what new rules and safety concerns for NASCAR and changed what privacy laws?
Yeah, so he also had a role in both the sport changing and society in general. So the sport changed with NASCAR's reaction and likely an appropriate reaction to increase safety. But what happened was they came up with the car of tomorrow, and this wasn't something that was discussed with the drivers. It wasn't, you know, discussed with people who wanted the fan experience to be maintained. And so what happened is you had many drivers unhappy with the performance and driving of this car and how it handled. And the fans especially couldn't tell the cars apart because they all looked similar. And this is in contrast to what happened when Ayrton Senna died in F1. And in Formula One racing, there was a reaction to his death, but his reaction involved the drivers, the owners, the engineers, the designers, they all talked. And so they came up with a solution that worked, but didn't turn away fans and turn away drivers. So NASCAR didn't do that. So the car of tomorrow, really from a driver standpoint and a fan standpoint, was almost a disaster. From a society standpoint, it's actually interesting because when Dale died, mm-hmm. the media and it wanted to get his autopsy photos. And the family didn't want the autopsy photos to go out. So what ended up happening was there was a battle in the courts, and Florida passed a law, which has now been cited by other states as well, where family members are protected because the media can't get access to autopsy photos, and especially in this internet day and social media era, you know, that kind of stuff can come out and everybody sees it. So there's actually a Dale Earnhardt privacy law. So we have Len Bias and the Len Bias drug laws, and we actually have a Dale Earnhardt privacy law, all because of the tragedy that unfolded with Dale and NASCAR.
Dr. Jonathan Gelber has been with us, has compiled a list of impactful injuries, as we were just discussing, and tragedies, and investigated the ripple effect that they have had on players across several different sports and on society in general. I tell you what, it is a great read. It's fascinating. And Dr. John's first time on the show. We certainly appreciate your time. And of course, the title of the book, Tiger Woods Back and Tommy John's Elbow, Injuries and Tragedies That Transform Careers, Sports, and Society. Go anywhere online and you can get a copy of the book. Thank you so much, Dr. John. We'll hopefully talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. Happy to come back anytime.
Then, of course, with Dr. John Gelber joining us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.